Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
One of the most intriguing books in the Bible is the book of Revelation. It is one of the most difficult to understand. Two factors contribute to this difficulty. First, is that there is so much symbolism in this book. Images like a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and hurled them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth he might devour her child, are clearly symbolic, if not surreal. In addition to that, much of the book is predictive. That is, much of the symbolism involves things that were yet to take place at the time of the book's writing. Some commentators believe most of these events have yet to take place, while others believe most of these events have already taken place. Most evangelicals, especially those in the charismatic and Pentecostal circles, think it is a combination of things that have happened already and things yet to come. I have always been a little leery of those who claim to have thorough understanding or faultless interpretation of these symbolic and prophetic events. Maybe one-third of the stars are fallen angels. Maybe the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah. Maybe the army of 200 million is China. Maybe Magog is Russia. Maybe the European common market is the Roman Empire resurrected. I don't see anything that can be forced to resemble America. I don't know who the beast is. I don't know when the rapture will take place. And I certainly don't know the hour or the day that Jesus will return. Because of these difficulties, many pastors avoid the book of Revelation. Some go so far as to say, we are not intended to understand it, so they won't spend time trying. Others take liberties with their own agendas. I once attended a class in which a psychologist came up with seven personality types represented by the seven churches in Revelation. The bulk of the symbolism and prophetic text occurs beginning in chapter 4. The first three chapters are letters to seven churches. That is the part that I will cover in this podcast. Now, I approach Revelation with the same rules I adhere to in any other Bible study. 1. Understand who is speaking. 2. Understand to whom they are speaking. And 3. Understand their purpose for speaking. Each of these is understood in the first three verses of chapter 1. Let's take a look. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants, the things which must soon take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ everything that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and keep the things which are written in it, for the time is near. First, it is not the revelation of John. It is not the revelation of the church. It is not the revelation of the Antichrist. It is not the revelation of the end of the world. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And often overlooked, it is the revelation God gave to him. John's gospel begins with the words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it." Jesus is the Word of God. A word is a vehicle of communication. When God wanted to speak to us, he sent his son Jesus. Jesus said, I did not speak on my own, but my Father himself who sent me has commanded me what to say and what to speak. Jesus was the light of mankind. He said, I am the light of the world. Light reveals things. Jesus came to reveal his Father to us. The book of Revelation is God revealing things through Jesus to his bondservants. This includes you and me. So the first rule to understand is, who is speaking? Yes, John is writing, but he is relaying a message. Here is John's account in chapter 1. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, Write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Therefore, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. So clearly, the person speaking is Jesus. Revelation means that which is revealed. Jesus is revealed in Revelation as, in chapter 1, verse 5, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth. Chapter 1, verse 8, the one who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Chapter 1, verse 13, the Son of Man. Chapter 1, verse 18, the one who was dead, but now is alive forevermore. Chapter 2, verse 1, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. Chapter 2, verse 12, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword. Chapter 2, verse 18, the Son of God. Chapter 2, verse 23, he who searches the minds and hearts. Chapter 3, verse 1, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Chapter 3, verse 7, he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and shuts and no one opens. Chapter 3, verse 14, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Chapter 4, verse 11, our Lord and our God. Chapter 5, verse 5, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Chapter 6, verse 1, the Lamb in heaven, with authority to open the seven seals. Chapter 7, verse 17, the Lamb in the center of the throne, who will be their shepherd. Chapter 11, verse 15, the Christ who will reign forever. Chapter 13, verse 8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Chapter 19, verse 11, the one called faithful and true. Chapter 19, verse 13, the Word of God. Chapter 19, verse 16, King of kings and Lord of lords. Chapter 22, verse 6, the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets. Chapter 22, verse 13, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And chapter 22, verse 16, the root and descendant of David, the bright and morning star. That is the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. The second rule, to whom is he speaking? He is speaking to the church, specifically seven churches. Theories differ about these seven churches, but it is undeniable that they were actual historic churches that existed in Asia Minor during the first century. Some try to force the notion that they represent seven eras in church history. The problem with this theory is that it is difficult to line up certain movements in church history with the descriptions in Revelation. The periods overlap and can only be applied at best in hindsight. Also, It is exclusively a Western perspective. It does not take into account movements in Africa, Asia, Latin America, or island cultures. However, the lessons from each of these churches can speak to us even today. Let's look at the message to each church. To the church in Ephesus, I know your deeds and your labor and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil people, and you have put those who call themselves apostles to the test, and they are not, and you found them false. And you have perseverance, and have endured on account of my name, and have not become weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you, and I will remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But you have this, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who overcomes, I will grant to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The good news is that they tested false leadership. Nicolaitan means to conquer laity. When Jesus established his church, he did not have in mind one group of elites who abused their authority over the masses. This was exactly what the Pharisees were guilty of. All too often, the modern church revolves around professional clergy personalities who are often put up on a pedestal, and they sit on the platform and entertain behind a pulpit. And when they fall, as humans often do, their followers are crushed. The bad news is that they left their first love. When relationship with God gives way to programs, politics, and finances, we are in big trouble. We must return to our first love. The promise is they get to eat from the tree of life. To the church in Smyrna, the first and the last who was dead and who has come to life says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. The bad news is they suffered persecution. The good news is they survived persecution. The promise is a crown of life, and they will not be hurt by the second death. To the church in Pergamum, the one who has a sharp, two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold firmly to my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak, to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit sexual immorality. So you too have some in the way who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore repent, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will wage war against them with the sword of my mouth. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows except the one who receives it. The bad news is they married secular culture with Christian culture. This allowed sexual immorality to infect the church. The good news is they held firmly to his name and did not deny the faith. The promise is manna or nourishment from heaven. a white stone, which is a symbol of pardon and a new identity. To the church in Thyatira, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and feet like burnished bronze, says this: I know your deeds, and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I give her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with the plague, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I have no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold firmly until I come. The one who overcomes, and the one who keeps my deeds until the end, I will give him authority over the nations, and he will rule with a rod of iron. And the vessels of the potter are shattered, as I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The good news is that they demonstrated love and faith and service and perseverance. The bad news is Jezebel. Jezebel is a seductress who hates spiritual authority and the order of things instituted by God. The promise is God will establish proper authority. To the church in Sardis, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this: I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, and yet you are dead. Be constantly alert and strengthen the things that remain, which are about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Then, if you are not alert, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour I come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who overcomes will be clothed the same way in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The bad news is they are barely alive spiritually. The good news is there are a few among them who are righteous. The promise is that like Lot and Noah, God will spare the righteous, even if they are a small minority. To the church in Philadelphia, he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this: I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have a little power, and have followed my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews but are not, but lie, I will make them come and bow down before your feet and make them know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word of perseverance, I will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold firmly to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it any more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of my city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The bad news is there are hypocrites among them. The good news is they have a little power and have followed his word and have not denied his name. The promise is they will become pillars in the church. The church in Laodicea, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of the creation of God, says this: I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were cold or hot. Because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have no need of anything, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to apply to your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, and I will dine with him, and he with me. The one who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The bad news is they are lukewarm and in denial about their real condition. The good news is that he will discipline those he loves so that they can repent. The promise is he is standing at the door knocking. Whoever hears his voice and opens the door can have fellowship with him. You know, that verse has always been used to evangelize unbelievers. But notice, it is written to the church. Jesus is outside of the church knocking on the door, and he desperately wants to come in and have fellowship with us. As I said, even though these were actual historic churches, the message remains relevant to us today. No matter how bad things are in the church or our individual lives, there is a solution and a promise. Now, I began with three rules of interpretation. First, understand who is speaking. The answer is Jesus. Second, understand to whom they are speaking. The answer is the church. Third, understand the purpose for speaking. The answer is, blessed is the one who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and keep the things which are written in it, for the time is near. I encourage you to read the book of Revelation with an open mind and an open heart and no preconceived interpretation. My personal opinion is that we are in a second Dark Ages. But it is also my firm conviction that if the church repents, we can see spiritual renewal. Scripture says judgment begins in the house of God. And in Acts, it is proclaimed, therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ, appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouths of his holy prophets from ancient times. This is Jim Barrier on Since You Asked.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.